Backseat Box Office, episode number 106, for the weekend of September 28th through the 30th, 2012.
Hey, this is Tony.
And this is Lena.
And this is Scott.
This is Jeff.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to Backseat Box Office.
And I'm going to punch you in the face, Tony.
What now?
Because you did a Battle Royale episode without me.
Clearly, if everyone reads Twitter, they will see that we are the Backseat Producers, and we know what would happen if we got you and Sam on talking about Battle Royale.
It, you would have turned it, would it still into be a recording.
Serious. It would have turned into a serious discussion. And people would have been interested and entertained and informed, and we couldn't have that.
And you'd still be recording.
Probably. That is also true.
Probably.
Yeah.
Because then we would have brought in other Japanese dystopian fiction, and it would have just kept going. There would have been themes, and we would have mentioned Hiroshima and the sarin gas attacks.
Oh, see, so... Here's your challenge. Why don't you and Sam just record an episode of Backseat Producers?
Okay.
And we can supplement the Battle Royale discussion by three jackals who don't know what they're talking about to two kind-hearted people who probably know more than all three of us combined, each one of you. So that's me kissing your ass so that you'll do it so that I have an extra week of content to bring in around Sausage Fest time, because as happens at Sausage Fest, come Wednesday, can't really do much in the way of talking.
Yeah. Either that or me and David will just get online and we'll talk about the Pad Labor movie for 3 hours, because we can do that.
Yeah, I need to check on that, because that interested me when he brought that up the other night.
They did, like, the first Pad Labor movie is fucking genius. It is a giant robot police procedural.
Okay.
Yeah. That just sounds really cool.
Scott, you're a good salesman.
I am.
Jeff is on Amazon right now.
There's also like a bunch of direct to video things and like a whole TV series, and they were all pretty damn awesome. Very little of it is in print. So good luck.
The first two movies are available on Amazon right now. And he even talked me into buying the super duper version for...
Which is cheaper than the regular version right now.
Is it really?
I think... Wasn't that what we established?
No, the regular version, you could buy both movies for $15, the regular version. But if you buy the super duper version, it's going to cost you like $20 each.
Right.
Which still isn't bad. I mean, not considering everything you get with this. Because like you get like art books with each one. And yeah, it seemed like a pretty good deal.
So we have we things went all pear shaped last week.
Oh man, did they!
And I feel like yesterday's jam.
Yeah. So before we get into talking about that, I'm going to bring this up at the beginning of the podcast instead of the end. Sausage Fest is by the time this drops, Sausage Fest will be a mere 15 days away, and I would love it if every one of you jumped out on sausagefeststl.com, copied the link, pasted it in whatever social medias you guys are on, and talk up how awesome Sausage Fest is. If you are so inclined and have the funds, a donation would be lovely. All the details on how you can donate are on the site. And there are perk awards for donating at certain monetary amounts. And maybe by Friday there may even be one or two more than are up there right now.
Cool.
So please give and please spread the word, because you may not be able to give yourself, and that's understandable. Times are tough. But if you spread the word, you just never know if there's somebody you know who might be willing to toss a couple of bucks this way. The proceeds after funding Sausage Fest will go to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation. The idea, the goal is that the event will be fully funded before we start collecting donations at the door. which is what we've been able to do. We were able to do last year. I hope we're going to be able to do that again this year. Donations are coming a little slower this year, so hopefully we'll be able to amp that up a little bit here in the next 2 weeks. But my hopes are high, and I have confirmed by some people that they are thinking about it, and they're just waiting for payday. So that said, Sausage Fest! Sorry, Scott, I'm going to just trump you on that little thing you're doing for the next 2 weeks because you get time after.
I do get some time after, and my side of things is fully funded, and Sam's thing is fully funded, and Chrissy's thing is fully funded.
Well,
so we just
screw the sick kids, then. Give the money to boobs.
Average.
Yeah, screw the sick kids now. Let's give the money to the boobs. Come on.
It's all about the boobs, man.
Sick kids now is an investment in the future of boobs.
That is true, and a little creepy. Thank you, Scott.
I ride on a bus that passes through two high schools when I'm coming home from work, so I have bad thoughts some days. One of them is Catholic, so I'm like extra in trouble.
Okay, man.
Like, I get off work, if I do the lunch shift, I get off work at like 3:30.
You know there's a percentage of those girls that are illegal, though.
Well, well in Canada, it's a bigger percentage because it's 16.
Really?
Yes.
Now, see, what I find funny is that, you know, everybody makes such a big deal about 18, but even in the United States, most state laws, it's 17. Most, I think. I only say that based on the two states that I most often frequent, and most of those two states are. All of those two states are 17. We learned this in the early years of college because 17 is legal, but you need to make sure you're in good with her parents, because if you live in Illinois and you want to take her on a date to Missouri and they think anything hinky's going on, they can actually have you brought up on federal charges of transporting a minor across state lines without permission, which is illegal. You could take her to a hotel in Illinois and bang her all day long, but you can't take her to Missouri just on a date.
Tony, I'm falling in love with you all over again.
Education. Education. It's all about knowing what the boundaries and guidelines are.
Does this mean we have to move the show to edutainment on iTunes?
Maybe. Maybe we'll actually get a couple more listeners.
I sometimes wonder why I'm here.
Well, I have most of a degree in that, and the best answer I've got so far is, why the fuck not?
Clearly, Lena, the reason that you are here as the intern is to verify what I've said is accurate. That way, if it's wrong, it's your fault.
How did I skip the intern phase of working here? Exactly.
Because you volunteered, just outright volunteered to do a show fully produced.
That's fair.
And you do it.
That is true.
With a very high percentage of completion and not always correctly, but your scores have improved. This year's performance appraisal will clearly reflect a better percentage of correct completion than last year.
But it's still been a tough year for the company, so no raises or Christmas bonus for you.
That's right. It's all going to be percentage-based. So, so movies. I guess we should at some point talk about those before I really get myself in trouble.
I'm going to tell your wife.
She didn't know me
how we did over the weekend.
She didn't know me back then, so I said early years of college. When I met her, I was not in college. I have only taken like two classes since I've known. Well, three since I've known her. So,
what junior high school did you meet her at then?
AOL. So there.
No, AOL's about as good as a junior high school.
It was an AOL chat room, so exactly the same.
Yeah. Exactly the same. Lena, you had something relevant to say.
Did I? Okay, then. Movies over the weekend. End of Watch came in at number one, 13.2 million. Number two, House at the End of the Street at 12.3 million. Trouble with the Curve at number three with 12.2 million. Finding Nemo came in at fourth, 9.4 million. Resident Evil Retribution came in at number five with 6.7 million. And Dread came in at number six with $6.3 million. And that's as far as we need to go as far as movie picks and things.
Oh, boy.
Everyone stayed within those six. Very few people did well.
Yeah, so unfortunately, we had people picking Dread at number one.
Uh-huh.
That was a rough day.
In my defense, I had consumed half a bottle of sake before we had started.
I believe... I don't remember if that actually made it to the recording or not, but I do recall you saying that.
Yeah, I do.
And I'm going to rectify this problem by drinking the other half of the bottle of sake while we record.
Beautiful.
So that he can suck again and be perfectly cool with it.
No, it's going to balance, because now he's drinking the good half.
I'm talking to Tony and drinking my sake.
Yeah, see, he's drinking the good half now, so it's going to be fine.
Jeff and I are just here to be pretty.
Well, I'm pretty sure that's what got you hired for this internship. Jeff just kind of wandered in, and we we're all too polite to ask him to go.
That's how we hooked Holmberg.
Both lines of reasoning, I accept that.
No, Holmberg literally became part of the podcast because he was in the chat room that night. Hey, what are you doing right now? Nothing. You want to join us for the podcast? Andrew's going to come on, too. Why the hell not? The only thing that has taken him out of the loop is not having and then buying a new house. So.
And then all that new house setup stuff you have to do afterward.
Well,
it's not enough to just pile all your boxes in the middle of the living room and call it a day.
To be fair,
he
doesn't have internet right now. So it would be a little tough to get him on tonight.
Smoke signals, Tony. Smoke signals.
We're soon enough.
If he just cups his hands, we'll hear him.
You know, if that dishwasher that he installed tonight doesn't have internet built into it, there's a serious problem.
Yeah, we live in 2012.
Come on, we live in the future. Your dishwasher should be on the internet. If nothing else, to tell you just how clean... It should be tweeting just how clean your items are, your utensils.
Exactly.
Next tweet, oh, this fork is so fucking clean. Oh! There's no language filter on it. They didn't buy the good one.
are most washing machines like designed by in Sweden now? That could be fun. It only tweets in Swedish. We're sorry.
Even better. It doesn't tweet in Swedish. It tweets in what it thinks Americans think Swedish is, so it's just the Swedish chef.
The Swedish chef.
Swedish chef is like my third favorite Muppet.
Yeah, I'm with you.
He's my second favorite Muppet.
I saw something on Facebook that showed Elmo on one side with an arrow pointing to Animal. At the top it said, meth is a hell of a drug.
Did you see the Entertainment Weekly thing with Cookie Monster and Grover?
I have not seen it yet. I'm aware of it. I just haven't had a chance to watch it yet.
What is it?
Cookie Monster is the Hulk in the Avengers parody. That me secret, Super Grover. Me always hungry.
That's awesome. So, I guess we should talk about how we did based on these results.
Just let me finish the sake.
That's okay. You've got a while. You have time to finish. All right. So I picked at number one, House at the End of the Street. Number two, Dread. Number three, End of Watch. Number four, Trouble with the Curve. And number five, Resident Evil Retribution. Man, I am so glad that I did not pick Trouble with Curve at number one, because my score would have even been worse, because I was actually headed down that road.
Oh.
Though it would have pushed Dread farther down the list. It would have also pushed End of Watch down to fourth. So, yeah, all in all, I'm glad I did move Trouble with Curve down to four. It would have been far worse for me to keep it at one, which at one point I had written down for my pick. Oh, by the way, I got it, 16?
Yeah. Yes.
So I ended up with a 15 with one House at the End of the Street, two Dread, three Trouble with the Curve, four End of Watch, five Finding Nemo 3D. And, you know, it's really, when you look at it now, you probably, one, two, three, or four, we're all looking that could have been number one.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what, but my biggest mistake was I think I lost 5 points on End of Watch.
Yeah.
Three. No, you had it at fourth. It came in first, so you lost 3 points. Dread is what cost you the most.
Yeah.
That you lost 4 points on Dread.
Oh, okay.
And to be fair, one through three, End of Watch, House at the End of the Street, and Trouble with the Curve were less than $1 million apart.
Yeah.
That in your territory. Rough.
At one point, the Weekend estimates, didn't the Weekend estimates have End of Watch and House at the End of the Street tied?
They did.
Oh.
They did, yeah.
Yeah, so it was tight. And jumble those three up and scores could have been much higher for some people. Uh-huh. Unless they picked Dread at number one.
I picked House at the End of the Street at number one, Dread at two, Resident Evil at three, Trouble with the Curve at four, and End of Watch at five. I got none of them right. None. The closest I got was Trouble with the Curve. I was off by one. Damn it. Oh, so I had 12 points. Ahem. So,
yeah.
Sucky boy, what do you got?
9 points, was it?
Yeah.
Not one thing right. I have no justification for anything I picked at this point. I was picking at random. Well,
you know,
moderately
four people,
drunk.
Four people all had the same number one as, including you.
Yeah.
So you weren't alone there.
Well, like,
oh, you're on with the sake justification.
Yeah, I was moderately drunk and picking at random.
Yeah,
that is fair.
And how could you mislead me, Junmai Sake?
I think right there we just proved what happened last week.
And
I want to hear him. I want to hear him read these descriptions. These movies coming out of this week now.
Okay.
And because one person dropped off the leaderboard, you actually, even with your 9, moved up a slot. So there.
Top 10.
All right.
Yeah, I think I was the only one that dropped the spot.
I think so.
I see red.
Yeah.
I see red.
Jeff is the only red one on the screen at the moment.
Well, that's because you're high up and there's still some flip-flopping going on.
I say I should have inched just a little bit closer. Probably just a rounding error closer. All right, so let's talk about what's coming out this weekend.
You do that.
All right, so let's do it in reverse alphabetical order, just for the sake of being different from last week.
Isn't that what we did last week?
Yes, it was.
We went
you know
up
what,
from
Tony, Zed. You and I aren't drinking.
Okay.
That's true. I'm drinking. I'm drinking water.
Well, in that case, we'll do it in real alphabetical order.
From the tap, though. I'm living dangerously.
Oh, living dangerously.
I got some fancy schmancy stuff from a bottle.
So we have Hotel Transylvania, Dracula's Lavish 5-Steak Resort, where monsters and their families can live it up, free to be the monsters they are without humans to bother them. On one special weekend, Dracula has invited some of the world's most famous monsters, Frankenstein and his bride, the Mummy, the Invisible Man, a family of werewolves and more, to celebrate his daughter Mavis's 118th birthday. For Drac, catering to all these legendary monsters is no problem, but his world could come crashing down when one ordinary guy stumbles on the hotel and takes a shine to Mavis.
It sounds adorable.
They did a Cupcake Wars on the Food Network for the opening of that movie.
Parts of this movie look awesome and adorable, and parts of it make me really worry about the movie. Most of my worrying comes from the casting.
Fran Drescher.
That is never a good sign.
Especially in a voice-only role.
Yeah, because her voice is not anything... I mean, she's not that much to look at, but man, that voice just makes everything else
And even
drop.
The regular voice, not just the nanny voice, the regular voice still.
Yeah, it's all bad. Yeah, you've got Adam Sandler playing Dracula. Andy Samberg playing that regular guy, Jonathan. Kevin James as Frankenstein, David Spade as the Invisible Man, CeeLo Green as the Mummy, John Lovitz as Quasimodo. I mean, the list goes on from there. It's a lot of SNL alums. You do have Steve Buscemi, Rob Riggle, Miley Cyrus.
No, that was an old, like, they're including some older ones.
Oh, I see.
That are
It looks like
rumors.
There were people that had been included at one point, because we have a different person as Quasimodo and a different person as Mavis. I guess at one point Miley Cyrus must have been attached as Mavis. It's now currently Selena Gomez.
Because
I'm glad
you know,
it's not Miley Cyrus.
I don't care either way, because you know what? I could not pick out their voice if I had to. Their voices mean nothing to me. It's stunt casting at that point.
Yeah.
Because these people aren't known. Those two people are not known for their voices, not for talking.
Yeah.
Unless she said something in that hick, twangy accent. Y'all.
Which totally plays great as, a native of Transylvania and a vampire.
Exactly. Yeah, so that's just stunt casting. That's meaningless. Some of these others have very distinct voices, so you could pick them out fairly easily. But, I don't know. We're going to go see it, because the kids want to see it, Julie wants to see it, so we will go as a family.
Well, you have to let us know if the movie succeeds in what is its greatest potential by having the big end-of-movie dance party be a parody of Welcome to the Hotel California.
It better be. Jesus Christ. If it's not, I'm going to walk out of that movie and demand my money back. I will do it, because if it's not either during the opening credits or the closing credits, I'm going to be so pissed off.
Now, is this wishful thinking, or is this actually supposed to happen?
This is pure and beautiful serendipity that must occur, or there is something that is not right in the universe.
Yes.
Like, God is not a loving being if this does not happen.
Yeah, I reject.
Understood.
The Old Testament is true fact if this does not take place. Because then God is to be feared and not worshipped and loved.
Oh, yeah.
Because that would be hell on earth. Right there. One of the seven seals is opening if Hotel California doesn't, in some way, shape, or form, make an appearance in this movie.
Indeed.
Set it.
And it better be played on an out-of-tune pipe organ.
It's 2012. So, that, you know, I'm just saying, we should all be prepared for the end of days.
I might go out on a limb here and say you're expecting too much out of this animated film.
You know, I've survived, you know, by next year I'll have survived like three apocalypses.
Well, there is the zombie bees.
It's the zombie bees.
The zombie bees.
I don't like bees.
What about zombie bees? Because they're
probably
there.
Probably don't like them even more.
Don't be going to Washington State then, because apparently they are in Washington State.
I shall not. I shall stay away.
Hey, seriously, they are zombie bees. Have you seen this?
I know I've heard of it, but I haven't. I don't know anything about it.
So they bees don't fly at night. Zombie bees fly at night. They also fly erratically until they just drop dead. They are infected by a parasite that, in the article I read, describes them as similar, that have a life cycle similar to the parasite seen in the movie Alien. I swear to God, that's
really?
What the article said. These flies lay their eggs inside the bees. They grow inside the bees. The maggots grow inside the bees, and that's what causes the bees to behave this way. And then they hatch after the bees die.
Oh my God, now I need a drink.
There's just so much knowledge being brought in this episode.
All you need to know, double tap anything that buzzes.
Yes. Double tap your raid can.
Cardio.
Yeah. Run from bees, because that's always a good idea.
I have a can of Raid in every room of my apartment. If you live in Florida, it's a must.
Well, you might want to double up.
Ugh.
Zombie bees.
These bitches.
In the
and I'm
going to
say it now, just because the internet demands it. Bees. My God.
All right. In the futuristic action thriller Looper, time travel will be invented, but it will be illegal and only available on the black market. When the mob wants to get rid of someone, they will send their target 30 years into the past, where a looper, a hired gun like Joseph Gordon-Levitt, is waiting to mop up. Joe is getting rich and life is good until the day the mob decides to close the loop, sending back Joe's future self, Bruce Willis, for assassination.
The great failing of the advertising in this movie is that the advertising is not Batman and John McClane fight time-traveling gangsters.
No kidding.
So Bruce Willis has to go back and kill Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
No.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt is going to kill Bruce Willis.
That's what I thought. I got a little confused listening to the...
Because they dump the bodies in the past, because then any DNA records of them basically don't exist.
Well, right. You're looking for someone who's not dead.
Yep.
You find a body, you do a DNA record, and it's like, oh, this is Joe so-and-so. Let's, you know...
Why does he look like this old guy?
Yeah, why is this old dead person Joe so-and-so when Joe so-and-so is clearly standing in front of me alive? Something must be wrong.
What the hell?
Don't Willis and Levitt play the same character at different points?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, they are the same character, Joe, at different points in their life. And that's why Joseph Gordon-Levitt doesn't look like Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Because they're trying really hard to make him look like Bruce Willis.
It looks weird. I think I would have rather them just not try.
I don't see why it was necessary.
Yeah.
And it's really easy to hand wave why someone associated with the mafia might have had to change their face drastically.
Or just that they had gotten the hell beat out of them on multiple occasions, and that therefore his nose doesn't look like it's in the same place anymore. Which appears to be most of what they've tried to do with him, is change how his nose looks.
And he might be wearing contacts.
Yeah, I think that could be.
I thought his forehead looked kind of funky, but I only saw one clip.
That could be it, too. But I'm in for this.
I'm down for this. I'm seeing it on Monday.
Yeah, I don't know when I'm seeing it, but I want to see it.
Well, Friday, so I'll be seeing it Friday.
Oh, there you go. Jeff is a jerk. He's going to trump us all.
Damn you, Jeff.
All right, so last up is Won't Back Down, in which Maggie Gyllenhaal and Viola Davis play two determined mothers, one a teacher, who will stop at nothing to transform their children's failing inner-city school. Facing a powerful and entrenched bureaucracy, they risk everything to make a difference in the education and future of their children, so that they can be sent back in time to be killed by Joseph Gordon-Levitt. This powerful story of parenthood, friendship, and courage mirrors events that are making headlines daily.
Oh.
If they can play Hotel California and Hotel Transylvania, can I see Tom Petty show up in this movie?
That would be fair.
Thank you.
But only Tom Petty. No Heartbreakers.
Screw the Heartbreakers.
Yeah, F those guys. Man.
This one's getting poorly reviewed.
I think HSX was like $11.
That's fair, based on everything I've seen.
I'm thinking.
I think I'm just going to stay home and watch the Edward James Olmos version of this.
Yeah.
Much better.
Yeah, because Captain Bill Adama...
He reached those kids!
Yeah. Man, wouldn't that be awesome if, like, he was the principal, and you had, what's his name? Aaron,
You think...
Saltai?
Yeah, Saltai. As the vice principal/gym teacher.
No. Vice principal / dean of students. The one who gets to administer punishment. Oh, God.
Oh, and Jamie Bamber. Jamie Bamber's like the English teacher who has to teach in the basement with all the remedial kids.
Yes. Yes. And Katie Sackhoff is like the no-nonsense math/gym teacher.
Yes.
I feel like
and obviously the guidance counselor is, God.
Mary McDonald?
Yes. That's even better than what I was going to say.
Yes. Because you know the guidance counselor, like the head guidance counselor, is making time with the principal, so that just works.
Okay, in that case, obviously Baltar has to be like some sort of state bureaucrat.
No. He's the head of the school board.
Oh.
I think we have just made
this
movie
more.
So much
Tyrell, better. Tyrell, head of the PTA.
Oh, where's Romo Lampkin come in then?
Romo Lampkin is the...
Is the attorney for... He's got to be the attorney for the Board of Education.
He's either the attorney for the Board of Education, or he's like a dad who volunteers.
Oh, yeah.
That may works. Also still be an attorney of some sort.
Yep. Yep.
We may have created a much better movie than this. As we are wont to do when we have bad movies.
I want to see the movie we just made.
I think this is a new drinking game, Q, when we write a better movie.
I think. What? There's a character named Nintendo Kid.
Okay. Nintendo Kid's still in it. He can stay.
There, Daddy Drop-Off and Nintendo Kid. Wow. I don't believe I will be seeing this picture this weekend.
Or ever.
Any weekend in the future.
Less uncoerced.
Wait a minute. If it's on cable, I may fast forward just to watch the Maggie Gyllenhaal parts. I'm going to be honest.
Maggie Gyllenhaal is much more attractive than Edward James Olmos.
Yes.
Yeah.
I will admit this.
Wait a minute. We can have Maggie Gyllenhaal be another Cylon. Did everybody just suddenly, spontaneously have their heart explode also?
Yes.
I'm still trying.
My heart exploded.
I know both Scott and Jeff are considering every outfit that...
Trisha Helfer.
Huh? Trisha Helfer, yes. Thank you. That every outfit that Trisha Helfer had on during the course of Battlestar Galactica and were mentally imposing Maggie Gyllenhaal into those outfits.
And then my heart did explode, matching the baseline to All Along the Watchtower.
Watchtower.
I fucking love that song, by the way. Just independent of the show, and then it's like, goddamn, I love it.
All right. So, and now that we're past the three movies that are coming out, and the one movie that is unfortunately not coming out this weekend because the universe would love it too much, and everything else would fall to that. Clearly, that movie would be number one at the box office this weekend.
So say we all.
So say we all. I guess I get to go first?
Yep.
Yes,
that's
sir.
How this is working out?
Started, I have an announcement.
Uh-oh.
Since I'm not going to Sausage Fest, and I've been planning, well, I donated last year,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to donate again this year,
but to
make it a little more fun, I'm going to donate for every point that the hosts get for this week.
Booyah!
Wow!
Look at you!
What a good man, Charlie Brown.
Thank you. So, everybody, you better do good. Seriously.
Pressure!
So I'm my budget's around $75. So it's just Tony, Lena, and Scott.
Yeah, because clearly you could pick Dredd at number one and take care of your picks right there.
Well, you know, pretty close to the finish line, so I don't think I could sabotage the score that much.
True.
But yeah, I want the pressure off of me. I'm putting on you guys.
All right. I'll take the heat. I'm ready. I think I have some pretty solid picks here, because, to be honest, this week isn't... I mean, we've got three movies coming out.
It was a lot tougher last week.
There's not very much mystery surrounding these three movies. I really don't see there being a problem with that. I'm going to start by saying Hotel Transylvania at number one.
Yep.
The media, the advertisement, has been all over the place. We're, you know,
it is coming up on October.
We are
a spooky kids movie.
Yeah, we're really close to Halloween. And from all accounts, it's not spooky. It has the horror monsters in it, but from everything I've seen and then from reading some of these reviews, it's not a scary movie by any stretch. So I think that all works in its advantage. It looks fun. It looks light. It looks like there's probably some stuff there for the grown-ups, so they won't be completely, you know, mind-numbed by going to this. Hotel Transylvania at number one. Looper at number two. I think that's kind of a no-brainer. I think it's easily in that $15 to $30 million opening weekend range, because September, October, you really can never tell how a movie's going to do. That far and away is above anything that was last weekend, especially after they start dropping. I'm not going to include Won't Back Down at all in my top five. Spoiler. And I'm going to round out my top five with leaving End of Watch at number one. I think the fact that it made number one might give it enough of a boost to keep it at number three. So End of Watch at number three. Trouble with the Curve. I think that one might have a little bit of a longer tail on it than House at the End of the Street. So Trouble with the Curve at number four, House at the End of the Street at number five. Them bees my pixes.
Jeff.
Okay, so I guess I'm next. And I want to see, or I want to think that moviegoers know a good movie when they know one, but I know that's not going to happen.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
I want to put Looper number one, but I just can't. So so the five I have written down were the ones that Tony just had. Hotel Transylvania 1, Looper 2, End of Watch 3, Trouble with the Curve 4, House at the End of the Street 5.
Those are good picks, Jeff. So, Lena?
Ah, jeez.
Come on.
No, I'm ready.
We've done the work for you.
Yeah, the only thing I have, I did put Won't Back Down at number 5. My 1 through 4 is the same as you guys. I put Won't Back Down at number 5. So Hotel Transylvania, Looper, End of Watch, Trouble with the Curve, Won't Back Down.
All right.
I figure if I'm off with that, hopefully I'm not off too much.
Well, see, I'm cheering for us all to get really high scores this week.
So I'm going to go with what I wrote down and fiddled with as we were talking, but it's basically ditto, Lena.
Oh, cool.
I just want to know I wrote it down first.
All right.
Excellent.
So Lena only has to type up two lists this weekend for this week's picks.
Saves me all of 15 seconds. Yay!
And Jeff, thank you for your generous offer and challenge.
You're welcome.
And let's see if anybody else will pick up on this notion. I'm not saying people need to be that generous, because that's very generous. It's very much appreciated. Maybe you only want to bet with your own picks. Challenge yourself to do well. That's really all I got. Anybody have anything else before we wrap this for this week?
So, Tony, did you pick up the Avengers Blu-ray?
It is. It has been shipped. It will be here, if Amazon is correct, it will be here tomorrow. And we got the DVD Blu-ray, 3D Blu-ray, digital copy, digital soundtrack version.
So every conceivable way to view this movie on current technology.
Yes. And listen, because we're getting the digital soundtrack also. Yeah, it's only like $20 on Amazon. So
yeah,
I went to Target on Tuesday at 1 o'clock at lunch, and I got the last one of the Blu-ray DVD.
Oh wow!
On below the where you get everything.
Right, right.
And Target had exclusive where you get a bonus disc that had, I think they just compiled like all, is there 6 movies?
Yes.
Yeah. All, so basically behind the scenes of all 6 movies.
Oh,
so it's like
cool.
A 45-minute presentation.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Julie was actually going to go to Target because I guess they had this package that we just bought from Amazon. I guess Target was selling it at the same price. And she was going to go at lunch today, but she got busy at work and didn't even get to have lunch. So she's like, hey, should I stop on the way home and get this? Or I said, I was on Slick Deals earlier, and I think it's the exact same price on Amazon. And we have Amazon Prime, so that means we won't even have to pay tax for it. So technically it's cheaper, and they will just deliver it to us. And at the time, it was late afternoon, and actually it was early afternoon. And it was one of those things where it was like, if you order in the next 8 hours, you'll have it on Friday. Okay. And then, like, as I'm leaving work, I get an email on my phone. Your order's been shipped. It will be there on Thursday. Awesome.
So I was looking through the IMDb trivia page for the Avengers,
mm-hmm.
and I came across a couple things. First one was about the shawarma scene.
You know what? I still haven't seen it.
Well, Chris Evans is covering his face because he has a beard.
Yeah. Because that scene was, I guess, filmed after they did the Hollywood premiere.
Yeah, I had heard that.
Yeah. And then the second thing was...
Sometimes you just got to pay off on the random things. like shawarma.
Yeah.
Which is delicious.
Well, I guess from what I read, I guess Robert Downey Jr. talked Joss into doing that last scene. And so they got everyone together and, you know, Evans had to go fly to Prague to do another movie.
Oh, wow.
So they just had to cover his face. Because Evans wanted them to just CGI it, that he had a regular face.
Wow.
Not doing that. You're just covering it with your fist.
Yeah, that was a smart move on Joss's part, I think.
And then I guess the name of the alien race in the movie, the Chitauri,
mm-hmm.
Do you know why they couldn't call them the Skrulls?
Fantastic Four licensing with Fox.
Right, because I guess the Skrulls first appeared in the Fantastic Four book, so that, I guess, IP, for lack of a better term, is attached to Fantastic Four, so they can't use it in the Avengers movie.
Yeah, when they...
Although, speaking of legal wrangling, this is the fun one. Anytime the Marvel decides they want to include them in the Avengers, they can do Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, as long as they don't mention who their father is or that they're mutants.
Wow. Yeah, I guess they can.
Like, because they are more closely associated with the Avengers as a property, but they're still technically mutants.
Well, I heard a comic book podcast not too long ago talking about the most recent Spider-Man movie, and they were bemoaning the fact that there's a character that's appeared recently in the comic books, Carly something or another.
Oh, fuck.
As Peter's girlfriend. They were bemoaning the fact that, oh, why couldn't they have just brought her in instead of doing another story with Gwen Stacy? It's like, well, first, Gwen Stacy is awesome and you are wrong and stupid. But second, it has to do with licensing. And at the time those licenses were made, that character wasn't a character. So I don't believe they would have rights to her.
That's probably true.
And that's why you're also not going to get any of the Neo villains. They're kind of locked in a point in time with what they can use as far as the characters go, based on the licensing. And you can be sure that Marvel's not going to let them update that license at all, because they want it back bad. I know there was talk of actually making another Daredevil movie.
Oh, I wanted to see that Daredevil movie. It was going to be set in the 1970s.
I know. That Daredevil movie sounded so good. Not to say they still couldn't do that, but...
No, they really... Well, kind of they can't. Yeah, kind of.
Well, kind of. Except for the fact that once the property falls back to Marvel, all they have to do is go back to their old 70s comic books and do it.
Yeah, well, Daredevil's already back to Marvel.
Yeah, that happened really recently. So exciting things we could be seeing. I would, you know, as much as I am enjoying, like, especially X-Men First Class, I really enjoyed X-Men First Class. I'm excited to see that they're doing Days of Future Past. At the same time, I would love to see what Marvel Studios would do with that property, bringing it back in-house. I don't think that that Fox is going to let that go anytime soon, though.
That they are not going to lose the X-Men.
No, no.
They'll let a few of the other ones, like, I would not be surprised if Ghost Rider went, or some of the other ones that are still extant, but X-Men they're going to hold on to.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised to see them lose Fantastic Four.
Yeah, that'll just happen because apparently no one has any idea how to make a Fantastic Four movie.
Yeah, well, except Pixar.
Well, they grabbed what they could from a few other things to make it happen.
Yeah. All right. I say we call this a show.
All right.
Sounds good.
See you guys. See you on the other side of the weekend.
Bye, everyone.